Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this day that we can worship you together with, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, as we listen to your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that your still small voice would penetrate our thinking and our being, that we might hear you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. And all God's people said, amen. If you can, take out your bulletin. There's a sheet in there. On one side are sermon notes. Fill in the blanks that you can use to follow along. On the other side is a set of scriptures for your weekly devotions. If you're listening online, there's a downloadable PDF file that includes both. Now, I don't know about you, but music, it moves me. It moves me, and with it is the idea that we know when you listen, what you listen to can shape what you think about. What you listen to can shape what you think about and even how you feel. Probably the earliest memory of music was, for me, was singing hymns at church. I grew up going to church. My dad was a pastor when I was a young boy. And there were great hymns in the hymnal. And as a kid, there was this one hymn that we sang, and it was the oddest thing. A hymn with two letter C's following one after the other, and I couldn't get my mind around it. I couldn't. It was a hymn based on the last book of the Bible. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Really? Two C's? I remember my dad sitting down at the organ at church and belting out the trumpet intro to God of Our Fathers. Dun, da 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 dun, 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 God of Our Fathers. You remember that song? Of course, in my home growing up, there was also classical music, sometimes a polka or two, and how could I forget a one and a two and a, who's that? Lawrence Welk. In my second decade of life, there was more pop music giving way to what we call today classic rock. In college, I became smitten with jazz, both big band and smooth jazz. And finally, in my mid-20s, after making a commitment to Jesus Christ, not only as my Lord, but as Savior, but as Lord of my life, I began to listen mostly to contemporary Christian music. Remember, what you listen to shapes what you think about. It can even shape your mood. Filmmakers, they understand this concept all too well when watching a movie. You know that something is going to happen when there's a subtle change in what? The music, right? Da-dun. Da-dun. Da-dun, dun, 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 dun. And then the trumpet comes in. Da-da-da-da. Music can move us emotionally as well as physically. It can lift our spirits. It can help us to relax and unwind. It can help us to celebrate and even party. And for those of you who work out, do you listen to this light, airy, classical music when you work out? Of course not. You listen to something that drives you, something with bass and drums, percussion. Music can and often does reflect our mood in life, even in difficult times. Read with me this psalm. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. There are all sorts of songs that speak to all sorts of our thinking, all sorts of our emotional well-being. Now, for me and most Christians, music music is the main means for us to worship God, whether we're here at church or even during the course of our day. In fact, I find and note that music is the primary tool. Music is the primary tool we use to help us to worship God. As I shared earlier with the children, what helped to make me to make a distinct turn in my life toward worshiping God was learning how to play the guitar. In part because the music I learned to play the guitar with came from a songbook from Concordia College, a Christian college. The cover of that songbook is long gone. It's replaced by duct tape holding its spine together. And yet God used that little book to take a guy who really did not understand what it meant to worship God, to deeply begin to worship God through music and song. And I realize I'm not talking about some notes or chords on a page, but the lyrics that accompany a tune form songs of worship, praising God with our voice. We must realize and note that at its core, music with lyrics is a short story, a song that tells a tale about yellow submarines or stairways to heaven, or a story of a lovely lady who is raising three very lovely girls, of needing Jesus to take the wheel. It begs the question to me, what kind of stories are we filling our hearts, our minds with these days? Because it's through music, what we hear, it shapes what we think and do. What you listen to can shape where you're going to go. Maybe some of you, like me, remember the late 70s in the church. A struggle began brewing as traditional hymns and music of the church was beginning to contend with this newer praise and worship music, often referred to as choruses. We just sang one. Pass It On was a chorus of that day. And more so as contemporary Christian music was hitting the airwaves, this fight was brewing, and over the ensuing decades, this issue would cause churches to struggle. Some churches would even divide over music. Others would navigate this new music, and it would be used to draw a new or other, maybe younger people into the life of God's church, God's bride, helping them to begin to learn how to worship God. Not everyone, though, was happy with this shift in music. Listen to this excerpt from a newspaper article by a clergy person who objected vehemently to the new trends in church music. He listed several reasons for opposing it. One, it's too new. Two, it's often worldly, even blasphemous. The new Christian music is not as pleasant as the more established style because there are so many songs you can't even learn them all. It puts too much emphasis on the instrumental music rather than the godly lyrics. He goes on to write, this new music creates disturbances, making people act indiscreetly and disorderly. The preceding generation, we got along without it. And this last one, it's a money-making scene, and some of these new music upstarts are lewd and loose. Does this sound like maybe some comments you've heard or even made yourself? This was written by a pastor in 1723, attacking Isaac Watts, the great writer of great hymns like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Joy to the world. O God, our help in ages past. He was angry with Isaac Watts. And today these hymns are considered great hymns of faith. Throughout the ages, music has been in flux, inside and outside the church, with new styles of music and song developed to help us to worship God. I wonder, what does the Bible say about songs? Historically, we note that the earliest biblical song comes from Moses in Exodus chapter 15. It was called the Song of Moses. And it came into being after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, escaping from the Egyptian army. The song of Moses extols God's strength and might in bringing salvation to the Israelites from the Egyptians. It was to God the God is the champion of the world. And God will keep fighting. Sing it with me. To the end. Well, it probably didn't go like that at all. But that was the concept. The Jewish tradition, as far as we know, was simply a melody line with the Psalms, the Bible's biggest book, it was the Jewish songbook, a type of call and response where one person sings the first line and another the second, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound. I don't even want to go further. That was so bad. Where one person sings and another responds. And it was probably done with only one instrument, and that was the voice. By the time of the temple in King David's day, the court had some 500 years later, there were professional singers and players of harps and trumpets and shofars. And when we look, for an instance, at the beginning of Psalm 98, read it with me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Now, I'm going to stop you there. I want everyone on this side to read the first two lines. Everyone on this side to respond with the next two lines. And then we'll read the last three lines together. This is how it might work. Shout for joy to the Lord. And all together, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. We note that Psalm 98 tells us of a song with music, harps with singing, but we don't know how they were used and if they were used together or apart, whether a single note or melodies, whether harmony was included or not. The Bible also tells us that Jesus sang songs with his disciples. And when the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Read the rest of that part with me. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He goes on to say, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If Paul deems our hearts and minds should be focused on things above, and we know that what we listen to can shape our thinking and shape what we do, then we should note that we should sing music that fills our hearts and sets our minds on things above. Notes strung together and played is a gift that God gives us. And God enjoys us as we play instruments and sing songs. That is a gift God gives us. And understand, I love some of the songs that I used to listen to. There are memories that are tied up, feelings that I experience when I hear some of those songs again. Some music, though, would lead me down darker paths. If I'm only singing those kinds of songs, how will it shape my thinking? How will it shape my doing? Because what I'm singing will shape me to either draw closer to God or draw me closer to the world. Paul continues down in verse 16. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with what? With gratitude in where? With gratitude in your hearts to God. In Paul's day, Christianity was in competition with all of the Greek and Roman and temple gods and idols. And Paul notes that we should use hymns and spiritual songs to teach and admonish, to teach and admonish one another and to sing to God. Jesus loves me, this I know, helps a child to know that God loves them. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, reminds us to stand alone on what? The Word of God. These songs teach young kids at heart, young kids and young people at heart. And they admonish us when we don't think we're loved, when we don't think God's Word is authoritative. Hymns and spiritual songs are great teaching tools. Remember and note, when we sing, we are generally singing for or to something or someone. Do you understand that? When you sing, you are generally singing for or to someone or something. There isn't any song that doesn't lead us somewhere, that doesn't lift up someone. Don't get me wrong, there's some wonderful songs about life, about love, about work. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make. There are wonderful songs about having fun, about living life, going to the beach, and even experiencing loss and death. And some music people feel are too loud, too crass, filled with curse words, and we cringe when we hear it. But all songs are sung for or to something or someone, and we simply have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it. And Paul states that there is a place for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs when it comes to God and the spiritual life. You want to draw close to God? Start singing some contemporary Christian music. You want to forget God? Start singing something else that doesn't lift up God, that seeks you to become more greedy or more possessive. But understand this, music is truly God's gift to us. In the early church, the voice was the only instrument acceptable for the first 2 or 3 centuries. There wasn't any musical instruments allowed in the sanctuary. From about the 4th century on, Gregorian chant ruled. Do you know what Gregorian chant is? It ruled for nearly almost 1,000 years. Although the simple organ wasn't invented until the 4th century, it didn't make its way into the church until, some say, the 7th century under a certain pope. But only then it was used for preludes and not during the actual Mass. No words were ever sung to the organ. Now, as far as true congregational singing, what we're enjoying today, the type we're more accustomed to, we note that it developed rapidly with Martin Luther. Martin Luther, as he wanted people to sing songs to worship God together as we do today. Martin Luther really began to blow on that flame and caused it to blaze into the mid-15th century as he began to write hymns and spiritual songs to God so that people could worship God together, not just be chanted to. And people were shocked that this... What are you doing? Nearly 200 years, John and Charles Wesley, the Wesleys would take, we note, a familiar tune, some, as I understood, to be bar tunes, and they'd put new words to them that would help people to know God, as well as to worship God. Remember, all music is God's gift to us. And in an illiterate society, putting words that would help people to know, love, and understand who Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit are into songs was so important for the church to continue to march on, for people to know God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in their hearts to God. It began to shape them, and it shapes us today to what they thought about and what we think and what they did and what we do. And both Luther and the Wesleys understood this and used music to their Well, really, to God's advantage. What you listen to or sing can really shape what you think about, what you do, because I believe music is God's gift to us. And when we become aware of this, it helps us to begin to incorporate more spiritual songs into our lives. I wonder, will music continue on into the future? In John's experience, the Apostle John's experience in heaven, he spoke about the saints taking up once again the song of Moses, although the words were changed. And in Don Piper's experience, he says, yes, there will be music in heaven. Don Piper was declared dead for 90 minutes when his tiny little escort was run over by a semi-truck on a bridge back in the late 80s. In his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, he talks briefly about the music that he heard. The praise, he says, was unending, but the most remarkable thing to me was that hundreds of songs were being sung, get this, at the same time. Each voice praised God. Some sounded instrumental. Praise was everywhere, and all of it was musical, yet comprised of melodies and tones I'd never experienced before. If we played 3 CDs of praise at the same time, he goes on to write, we'd have a cacophony of noise that would drive us crazy. This was totally different. Every sound blended, each voice or instrument enhanced the others. As strange as it may seem, I could clearly distinguish each song. It sounded as if each hymn of praise was meant for me to hear. Many of the old hymns and choruses I had sung at various times in my life were a part of the music, along with hundreds of songs I had never heard before. He writes, hymns of praise, modern sounding choruses, and ancient chants filled my ears and brought not only, see what it does? Brought not only a deep peace, but the greatest feeling of joy I've ever experienced. Music moves us. And then my favorite part of Don's description. The celestial tune surpassed any I had ever heard. I couldn't calculate the number of songs, perhaps thousands, offered up simultaneously, and yet there was no chaos. Read the rest with me. Because I had the capacity to hear each one and discern the lyrics and melody. All of these songs being raised up to glorify a living God. To remind us of who we are and to whom we must place our trust in. Today's Christian music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs we listen to and sing help to shape us and our understanding of God, as well as to help us to worship God. I can't remember how many times I've heard on the radio, Christian radio, when they have someone come on and says, there was a low moment in my life and I was flipping through the station and I came to your station and I heard something new that uplifted me and uplifted God and it changed my life. It is these songs that are forged out of our love for God and our experiences in the world. Some very difficult experiences have created some of the most wonderful hymns that we have heard. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Was written by a guy who had lost his entire family, his business. And yet he chose to say, it is well with my soul. Another song by Louise Stead. Her husband rushed into the water at a beach because a boy was drowning. And as he got to the boy, trying to save him, the boy wrapped himself around Mr. Stead and he went down under and they died. And in the midst of her asking the why question, the words came out, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promises. So as you listen to music here in church throughout your day this week, ask yourself the question, how does what I am listening to or sing help me in my relationship with God? How is this helping me to glorify God? Remember, there are love songs and other do-da-bitty-body songs that just are fun to sing. I don't think God has a problem with that. But there are other songs that can drag us right down. How does what I'm listening to or sing help me in my relationship with God? Do that for every song you listen to this week. Do that as we continue to sing hymns. Amazing Grace, we'll sing that in a few minutes, was based on a guy who had a slave ship and was encapturing people and making them slaves to others, and finally found the grace of God, and he wrote these words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How is what you're listening to shaping what you're thinking about and what you do in life? Is this music helping you to get to know God better? And if you listen to Christian music already, what is this music reminding me specifically about God? And how is this music helping me to worship God? Be intentional this week to what you listen to what you sing, and see what it does to help you in your relationship with God. Because you're either going to worship God with it, or you're going to worship the world. Those are your choices. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that we can trust in you, that we can take you at your word, that you keep your promises. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we go through this week, Lord, that you would remind us of your love for us, that you would help us to worship you at all times. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,